Hey guys, and welcome back to the ATG podcast. It is the ATG Super Show. Today, I'm joined by Jamie and Steph. Jamie on my left, Steph on my right, and I am Alex Jones. We're going to talk about some awesome stuff today. The main topic we're going to be covering is Left 4 Dead back for blood?
I like the play on words there.
Thank you.
I like that.
But first of all, let me just say that you can contact us on Twitter, on Instagram, we're at All Time Gaming TV. On Facebook, it's All Time Gaming Official. But first up, I want to know what you guys have been playing since we last spoke. So, Jamie, what have you been playing?
Yeah, I wasn't on last week's podcast, so I feel like I've got a bit of a backlog to get through. But really, it just boils down to two games, one of which actually you talked about last week, I won't go too hard on it. DMC5.
Of course.
And The Division 2.
And I'm exactly the same. I've been on both of those games as well,
They're the two hot new things.
Yeah.
Together on Division 2 or separately?
No, separately. Unfortunately. Separately. I saw in a Discord that people are writing down, let's make an ATG clan.
Yeah.
And I feel so left out because I'm playing on PC. I've just got the ultimate FOMO.
Even still, there are some people on our Discord who are playing on Xbox as well. So it is a bit split.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where I'd bloody love crossplay to be a thing, but we're not quite there yet.
So we need three clans of ATG so that we can cover all the platforms.
ATG's 1, 2, and 3.
So as someone who's only played the beta, I haven't played the actual game. We've talked about it before, but okay, what are you guys thinking at the moment? Steph, why don't you kick me off? Is it too similar to Division 1?
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
Is it too similar though?
I think at its core it's the same game.
Okay.
I feel like I'm playing the same game, but there are changes in there that I'm really, really liking. Like the added talents, for example.
Right.
I'm using, I think it's the drone at the moment, where I can mark enemies. That's pretty cool.
Nice,
I do like that. Or the skills, sorry, not talents. I think the skills. I'm not sure the name. And I'm also using a seeker mine as well, which rolls.
I do. They were in the first one as well, weren't
seeker
they?
Mines pretty legit.
They were a fun little toy in the first one.
You just feel very cool using it. It's the way he sort of casually places it on the ground and then it comes to life and fucking blows people up.
Yeah. I want to say that they've tweaked how the ways you can implement it, because I thought in the first one you effectively just threw it down and it went seeking somebody. But now you can effectively tag a target, put it on the ground and then tell it when to go, right?
Yes.
Changed.
And that applies to all the skills. So I'm using the drone as well. I also use the turret.
Yep.
And even with the turret, for example, I can tap that skill to place it where I am at or place it in cover. I can throw it out and it will like unfold in the middle of a thing. And then further to that, you can actually target who you want it to fire at. Same with the drone and the seeker mine and so on and so forth.
One thing I do found odd about Division is that I can see that tech is going to be coming to like real battlefields if it's not already there. Do you know what I mean? It can't be that far off.
It can't be that far. I don't know.
Yeah.
There must be seeker mines out there.
There must be a version of a seeker mine that's in some kind of laboratory somewhere, like Area 51 shit.
Freaking.
Because there's already those mines that burst up from the ground, isn't it? Like
they
pop up and then they explode when they're.
There's
at
one of those
level.
In the Division 2.
Bouncing Betties. Well, in zombie mode in COD, they're called bouncing Betties. I don't know if that's what they are in real life. I just realised I just said that. It's probably completely made
up. I'd love
up.
It if they stuck with that name though. Even through modern military standards, it still was the same.
But they're in real life.
Yeah, of
course.
So
they're in the Division as well. They're an attachment for the seeker mine or a variation of the seeker mine.
They have drones as well that they launch on the battlefield for reconnaissance and that. One thing that I always notice, I'm sure you guys do as well, in any footage of drones on flying around on battlefields, they always use the Xbox controller.
Really?
Yeah, always Xbox controller.
Yeah, it's
that's
so good.
Cool.
Like behind the scenes of a military base and they're like rows of dudes and people sitting there with Xbox controllers.
It's a good controller. It's a good controller.
Sony are like, look, if only we can break the military drone
we're
market.
We're going to break into that market.
Absolutely. Quickly, let's touch on DMC5, because we talked about it last week, but again, I've only played it on stream, so I only played it for like 2 hours with you a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking of DMC5? Because I really want to play that more.
I like it a lot. I'm actually completely new to the franchise, which is weird because we just put out this massive long video essay all about the series.
Of course we did,
that was a real crash course in DMC education for us, I think. And I thought, what better time to just jump in headfirst in the series with this one? The combat's taking a bit of getting used to. I'm not quite as good or as stylish as I'd like to be. I get the odd S here and there, but I kind of feel like I should look cooler than what I am. But I'm getting through it is the important thing. And that story's okay. I've got some issues with it, but I don't know how deep we can be bothered to get in on it.
I think the story's a bit linear.
Yeah, and do you know what it is? The story hinges quite a lot on this element of uncertainty, of characters and elements around those characters that you either don't know about or you can't trust.
Okay.
And I think I'm very obviously talking about V here.
Yes.
V is a present throughout the game that you don't know who he is or what he wants to do or why he's doing it. And same with the demon that sort of is the main villain of the game in this initial setup. Urizen, I think his name is.
Yes.
Then I was surprised at about two-thirds of the way through the game how quickly it unraveled those layers, answered some of those questions.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still willing to be surprised by that final third, but I'm surprised by how quickly they withered away those layers and it got left quite bare bones and, like Steph said, linear.
So did you find it, was it, I suppose, rewarding enough at the end when you found out about the story, Steph? How did you feel? Like,
I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, you haven't finished it?
No.
I'm a bit further than
Jamie, but I don't think I'm anywhere near finishing it. I think I've done maybe 12 hours.
I think you're quite close because I'm on mission 14 of 20.
Right, okay.
And so you must be on 16, 17?
We're talking endgame like here.
Getting close
to the end. But I'm really enjoying it. I think I agree with Jamie. I'm not the best at combat. I'm playing on a mouse and keyboard as well. I don't think it's helping.
Yikes.
Because especially when you've got Dante, for example, that requires you to switch between stances.
Yeah.
And they're on the Z, X, C, and V key on the keyboard.
That is filth.
So my hand is literally crunched up to get my thumb to those four to switch. So I'm having to play on human mode. I'm not quite...
Because if you went demon mode, it'll be too tough.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be
far too tough.
To be fair,
I'm playing on human as well, and I got given some shit by Milo and Chris for playing on human. The wording
on
that game, there's two difficulties, right? Human and Demon Hunter.
Yep.
The wording on Demon Hunter is, this is for veteran DMC players.
So I made that same...
I'm not one of those.
Yeah.
I made the same mistake in the... Well, not mistake, but when we played it on stream, I opted for human because... I did play with you, didn't I?
No, it was with Milo.
I was with Milo, of course it was. Is that I opted for human because I was like, I'm not a veteran. I played the first one. I haven't played him for a long time, so let's go human. But I did find the first 2 hours like a bit too easy. The combat didn't even feel challenging, really, and I thought maybe I should have gone for demon mode. But I found the descriptions confusing because it said veteran players. And I'm like, well, I'm not. That's not what I am.
But human is too easy.
Right. It is. There needs to... It almost feels like they've bracketed like two and four. This is human mode. And then one and three, this is demon mode.
Yeah.
But interesting way of tackling that problem.
It is. And maybe I would say that I'll play it again on high difficulty, but then I'm... Based on how much the Division 2 has already dragged me away from DMC 5, I'm not sure how much more I'm going to get out of it.
I don't think I'll play it through again. Although I might try the endless... I can't remember what it's called, but it's like endless horde mode.
Okay.
That thing's coming soon, isn't it?
Yeah. So I do want to give that a try.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we need to move on, but I will quickly say, because I know you will say, I bloody knew it, but I think I might have to pick up the Division 2 sometime.
I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. The only person I'd say to not get the Division 2 is someone who outright didn't like the Division 1.
Right, okay. Because I was on the fence. I must admit, I was like, should I, shouldn't I?
There's some smart...
Seems quite similar.
Smart changes and improvements.
Okay.
It's good that we've got one of those games in that genre. Like, not trying to aim any shots at Anthem here, but like a looter shooter game has come out and feels pretty darn good and in a good place right out of the gate.
Okay,
it's not like a play this in 6 month situation. It's pretty good now.
Except the scaling of enemies. That's the worst.
In co-op. They've already acknowledged that. There's going to be
a fix.
Yeah.
That will be fixed.
We've noticed. We will fix it. We are sorry.
We're listening.
Okay, so let's move on to our main news story for today then, which is all about... Well, it's not about Left 4 Dead, but it kind of is.
We're going to make it sound like it's about Left 4 Dead either way.
We are, because Turtle Rock are making Back 4 Blood, or they've announced Back 4 Blood, which is the spiritual successor to Left 4 Dead.
Yes.
A game series two games which I've never played. Are there two of them? How many are?
There are two of them.
Yeah.
I've played one of them a little bit, and I hated it, and which is constant.
The first one.
I believe it was the first one. Constant cause of friction on the channel, so
of course it would be.
But anyway, so they're getting together with some guys from the team who made Evolve. I understand.
They
are the team that, which I loved.
Yeah, figure that one out.
I know
Jonesy doesn't like the Left 4 Dead games and did like Evolve.
Evolve, I thought, had so much potential, and when it all just died and fell away, I was kind of like, if only you'd have stood behind it. And anyway, so they're coming out with a game which is the spiritual successor for Left 4 Dead, which is called Back 4 Blood.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys thinking about this?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll play it. I was a big Left 4 Dead fan, and I think one of the things that a lot of people worry about with series like Left 4 Dead, and you could extend this to your Portals and your Half-Lives, is that while Valve have had a great history of making games, a lot of stuff just tends to sit there for a little while.
Yeah.
And certainly when it comes to third entries and a lot of people's favourite games and favourite series, we don't always know when or even if it's going to happen.
Yep.
So I think it's interesting to see, well, first of all, that Turtle Rock in the first place kind of split from Valve and did their own thing, and now that they're actually going back to that genre, which, you know, Evolve had elements of it. It was still primarily, unless you play as a monster, a four-player co-op experience.
It was, yes. Yeah.
But this, it sounds like, is going to be much more Left 4 Dead style, four-player co-op, zombie survival, first-person shootery stuff. I think it's cool that they're doing it, and I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
Steph?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of thinking that it's going to be left in the past.
Yep.
Like, are they copying Left 4 Dead's formula and they've not caught up with kind of modern mechanics?
Right.
Because I would like to see is more randomness.
Okay.
Because once you've played through four levels, you've kind of seen it.
A bit too formulaic.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know that there's a horde of zombies coming then. You know that there's going to be one of the big monsters coming then. So, okay, you can prepare for it, and you've got the challenge of playing it on harder difficulty levels.
Yep.
But I think there still needs to be an element of randomness in there somewhere.
Have they got a little bit of an issue, right, in this title? Because they've said it's going to be zombies, right? It's going to be like Left 4 Dead. And in some ways, I feel a bit sorry for them because they were one of the originators of that kind of area of the market, that kind of genre.
Sure.
But they've now, they're getting back into an area which has kind of been saturated. I mean, Days Gone maybe has seen this to some degree, where people are like, do I want another zombie shooter game? Do I want to be in that world?
See, that's the problem as well.
Zombies are a little bit, they're a weird one.
They are.
Certain series seem to be able to get away with it. No one was looking at that Resident Evil 2 remake and going, oh, more zombies. But then Days Gone comes out 3 months later and everyone's like, oh, what, zombies? Oh, fuck off.
This dead now.
Oh, zombies are so 2007. By the way, Resident Evil 2 is my game of the year.
I kind of feel that they did a bit of a cheeky thing with Resident Evil 2 and that they kept saying, like, remake, and they kept talking about, like, almost some people said remaster in some sense.
Yeah.
That game is in no way a remaster. It's a ground-up remake and feels completely different. I think it's a fucking awesome game.
That is a full-on remake, not a remaster in any way.
They could have called it something completely different. It could have been a new release. It could have been a new title. And I don't think anyone would have moaned about the fact that it's too similar to Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, and maybe that's why no one moaned about the fact that there are zombies. But I think that may well end up applying to Back 4 Blood. And I think Steph kind of hit the nail on the head when it comes to the other issue, which is, you remember the Left 4 Dead games, and they were really kind of linear.
Yes.
And you, like you said, you replayed these campaigns a couple of times, and you got very used to sort of like placements and what would trigger certain events. And it was just about having a good time and hanging out with friends most of the time. It was best played in co-op. And certainly as single player games, they weren't made for that experience, right?
No.
And I worry, like, because Turtle Rock are teaming up with Warner Brothers on this. Warner Brothers are publishing this game, and, you know, Warner Brothers in the video games market, they publish big AAA games.
Yep.
Do they want this to be a $60, £50 product? And if so, like, what do you have to do in that genre to, in this day and age, warrant that price tag?
It's definitely interesting to see what they're going to do with it, because I'm finding it difficult to imagine what that game looks like, because, like you said, I can't see it fitting. It's kind of a weird prospect, really.
Yeah. Like, do you have a 20 to 30 hour long campaign, or that long's worth of multiple campaigns? Do you have loot elements in there? Like, what are your hooks for replayability? I'd be very interested to see what their answers are.
I don't know if it was a conference or just it was reported around as a quote from, I think it was the head developer, I can't remember his name, have actually stated that there's going to be some kind of campaign involved.
I mean, but again, how long is it?
Well, that's the other thing. And is the campaign just going to be several of the linear levels that you play online anyway with your friends?
Even if it's the fact that it's the Left 4 Dead team making a Left 4 Dead spiritual successor, if you offered me up something that played exactly the same as Left 4 Dead and said, by the way, it's one 20-hour long campaign, I'd be like, well, okay, I might play that, but... Is that it?
Oh, okay. So yeah. Warner Brothers.
This isn't double standards, because I'd say that even if Valve announced Left 4 Dead 3 and they wanted it to be a full price $60 title, I'd expect them to iterate and innovate as well.
They'd have to. They would have to. I mean, you can only go so far with nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
You can't really get away with just going, hey, you've wanted it for years.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Valve are allergic to third installments of games anyway, aren't they?
But
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon that they're going to do it. So I think it is on someone else to do it. I just had a thought then, because we were talking about Warner Brothers, and obviously look at what they've done with Hitman and the way that that works.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is it might be more of an episodic, you're in this environment and then a new episode releases where you're now in this environment,
mm-hmm.
which might make it a lot more doable as a multiplayer online, but still have elements of like a story that you can play for as a campaign, because you could jump in with new players rather than, you know, one of these games where you have a group of you who sit down and play a 20-30 hour campaign, because mm-hmm. I can't see that happening.
I agree.
Madness. So episodic, possibly?
I think that would make perfect sense for that genre.
Well, that's how Left 4 Dead 2 did it.
Well, it all came out at once, though. Left 4 Dead 2,
rather
right?
than the
oh, what you're talking about releasing?
Yeah, so they release one level and then another level, and then eventually you get the whole.
And then you're talking about like a $20-30 product out of the gate, which I think is a much more comfortable entry point.
Yes.
The only issue is, not to like call you out, it was Square Enix that published the episodic Hitman game.
Oh, sure. Okay.
When Warner Brothers started publishing it, all of a sudden it became one big game.
So not Warner.
So Warner Brothers have actually walked back the episodic releasing of Hitman.
So probably won't happen then.
So maybe...
my lack of...
But it brings back that conversation that Warner Brothers, I think, as a publisher, like that big, nifty... boxed $60 product,
which is I mean look, just we were talking about earlier, Milo and I were talking about earlier, about how Evolve fell foul of that in the way that they approached that prospect, and it was a full price game when it came out. I enjoyed it a lot, but then they put everything behind season passes and paywalls mm-hmm. and the way you play the game, and it just wasn't that sort of title.
So if
companies don't roll with the punches and sort of keep up with the times, surely it's just destined to fail anyway.
In some respects, they've got to read the room very carefully, I think, on this one. And that's why I think there are as many encouraging and positive signs around this news story as there are things to be a little bit, not necessarily worried about, but maybe to have in the back of your mind, I guess.
Okay, so this is Left 4 Dead, or effectively being continued, right? It's a spiritual successor.
Mm-hmm.
So can you see that happening with any of the other Valve titles that we want to see other installments of? So, of course, we're talking Half-Life, we're talking Portal. Can you see spiritual successors, or maybe those guys who work for Valve just leave Valve altogether, go somewhere else and ply their trade for other companies?
Portal I can, because I don't think the kind of Portal universe or the story campaign was anywhere near as deep as Half-Life,
mm-hmm.
but I think Half-Life, because that's an original, like, first product that Valve really
no one's going to rip it off and make their own successor.
You can't rip off Half-Life, it just can't be done.
Quarter Life in stores now.
it would scratch some people's itches, right?
I don't think I'd want a third Half-Life game if it wasn't made by Valve either.
Yeah.
Fraud and Geeman in a new Quarter Life game.
Fraud and I thought you said something in German. I thought you were saying like Frauden.
Yeah, he's German.
Fraud and Geeman. Wow.
Fraud and Geeman.
I mean, I think there's something to what Steph's saying, though, that like the more you get into the Half-Life territory, where there's an established lore and universe and characters that Valve obviously own, that gets tough. But certainly, we've seen a lot of writers leave Valve in the last handful of years. Some of them have gone back in the meantime. But obviously, Valve are a company that right now, they may be making games behind the scenes, but they're not really releasing games, unless you count Artifact. You put Artifact to one side, it's a very slow drip. If you were an extremely creative, talented individual,
mm-hmm.
like let's say you were one of the lead designers of the sort of the puzzles on Portal 2, would you be happy sat behind the scenes, like with no games coming out, without being able to show your work to people?
They've probably got the easiest jobs in the world.
They might do, but I think that a lot of like creative people are driven by the fact that they get to see their games released be like, what is a game if it's not something that comes out and is played by people?
Yeah. I mean, creating mods at home in your spare time can only go so far. And like, I used to be well renowned.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are going to be people who have worked at Valve for the last 10 years, and kind of have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
They might have had a great time, being paid really well. They might have wheeled their chair to any desk that they wanted to, and worked on any project. And they're probably a fucking really great snack bar. Gabe might have shown him his private knife collection. But they're going to walk away without a game on their CV.
Maybe
that's
what happens
crazy.
When they try and leave, is he shows them the knife collection and they stay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he's like, I will literally slit your throat if you leave this company.
If you leave. Oh,
damn it. Now get back to working Half-Life 3 VR.
I can't think of any games except Artifact of late that Valve have.
Oh, that's basically released. It. Yeah.
They're very good at supporting their own games and standing behind them and, you know, keeping them fresh, I guess, in some respects. But like, I can't think of anything they've... Yeah, what have they actually made?
I mean, like, obviously Dota 2 is still being supported. Counter-Strike Global Offensive is still being supported, and those scenes are still very big. But obviously, Portal 2 got left at Portal 2. Left 4 Dead got left at Left 4 Dead 2.
Yep.
Team Fortress got left at 2. Half-Life got left at 2, Episode 2, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There's definitely people that want games in those series.
But then do you think some of their bigger IPs like Dota and Counter-Strike, because there is just such a thriving environment, that they're thinking, well, we don't need to update it yet?
I definitely think there's an element of Valve where they're making so much money as well, just through Steam as a storefront,
absolutely.
Which up until maybe 12 months ago was unrivaled a storefront in PC gaming. They probably were making a lot of money and it was less of a priority, or maybe they just took the stance of, well, we now have the money and the time to slow this process down and make sure these games are fucking quality.
Mm.
Like, nothing comes out unless it's legitimately brilliant. Or maybe they just didn't know what to do next.
It's kind of an interesting one, and we get into a strange position whereby new storefronts opening up might be the best thing that ever happened for gamers, because it makes Valve think somewhere else rather than where, if they are going to be put in trouble by Epic or, by any of these other platforms, they have to start making games again. And they can't just support the people who already play games like Dota or,
They are at a fascinating crossroads where Dota 2 is nowhere near as popular as it once was.
No.
Artifact, it's maybe too early to call it a failure, but it's certainly not being played by a lot
Such
of people.
Such a niche as well, that game. I mean, surely that was more like a gift to the Dota people rather than a...
But even the Dota people didn't want it.
No, I'm sure that's what they intended. But it just didn't happen.
It's like one of those 3. Gifts you go, oh, thanks, I'm going to put this in a cupboard and rewrap it and give it to someone else in a year's time.
Thanks, Nan, I really wanted a bag with fun written on it.
Just what I always wanted. But so that didn't work out. As a storefront, they're under more pressure than they ever have been before because of people like Epic. And just like, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they laid a bunch of people off, including some of their VR engineers, which actually forced them to come out and say, actually, no, we do still have plans for VR. We're not shutting down our VR stuff. But the fact that they were forced to come out and say that, and the fact that the Vive probably could have sold better, and VR titles could be selling better, I think Valve are at a very interesting crossroads where they may have to fall back on some of their more familiar and known properties.
But I don't want them
a bit of money.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to see them as a fallback, because I'd feel then that those titles will be rushed. Like if they start hemorrhaging money.
But can a title
rush a Half-Life 3 and it's rubbish?
I don't know. I get where you're coming from, but I don't think that they have sat on Half-Life, Portal, Left 4 Dead, etc. over the last however many years it's been since the last one of those came out, not doing anything. I think they've had ideas. I think they've been in pre-production. I think there's been writing around them. I mean, there's that one YouTube channel. Do you know it? Like the Valve News Network, I think it's called, who basically is devoted his whole YouTube channel to digging through files and .ini files and stuff like that, and see like weird accidents, because they're all using the Source Engine, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And weird accidental references to like, oh, Left 4 Dead 3 and Portal 3, and these things look like they might have existed. I think these games have existed in some form behind the scenes. I don't think that Valve are going to panic and be like, right, time to start Portal 3 from scratch. I think there's been writing and development that's happened on it. It's just not near release.
Then you get into an interesting position, though, where you say, even if that has happened in the past, maybe that is something you need to throw away for now, because the market mechanics and games change so much and so quickly now.
Yeah.
Maybe like, you can't have that.
Like, if Left 4 Dead 3 was like half built behind the scenes, maybe Back 4 Blood, would be the thing where they're like, well, shit, they took a lot of our ideas here.
We better start making games.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm still hopeful for... zombie games in the future anyway, so I'm not going to write it. Even though I wasn't a Left 4 Dead fan, I feel like there was a game there that I could have got my teeth into, so hopefully Back 4 Blood.
I think zombie games are still alive. I enjoy zombie games like Dead Island, for example. Love that game.
Well, Dying Light 2, I'm really looking forward to Dying Light 2, and I've got to look at some of the stuff at Gamescom for that, and I'm genuinely excited for the games like that. And that is, story-driven, open world, like big games, And it's all and it's based around zombies, and but they're being smart with how they implement it. And I think this could be smart as well. I don't think it has to be, you know, you just get rushed every time you open a door by a horde of zombies.
Yeah.
It could be something like special.
A foghorn goes off in the distance that you know that the horde's coming. I mean, that's the standard mechanic.
They could like Last of Us was a zombie game, and that wasn't at the beginning of zombie games, and that still was one of the best games I've ever played. So,
and like you mentioned earlier, Days Gone will be the next big interesting test of that.
And I will be buying it. I will be playing it.
Wow. I love how Jonesy's on the fence about like DMC5 and The Division 2. But Days Gone, fucking pre-ordered, mate.
I feel like when there's games that everyone's saying is going to be rubbish, they're in your bracket, you have to support them. Because otherwise, if they die by the wayside, you can't turn around and go, oh, it was a good game, but, you know, I didn't buy it either.
I guess so.
It's rough. Okay. Well, should we move on?
Yeah.
We've got some juicy news stories this week to talk
about. If I could say one more thing on Valve, I think if they do surprise the gaming community with, I don't know, Portal 3 or Half-Life 3, then the games industry would just lose its mind. I cannot wait for that day.
It will never come. It's an amazing thing. Like, so I've got an HTC Vive. I love playing in VR. And when they did the lab, I thought that just playing in that Portal world and having a little slice of it, I loved. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I was amazed that they didn't make a VR title like Portal game. It could be, I mean, because they did do a few things, but I don't think they made like a Portal VR out and out, did they?
No.
Even like a mini game sort of thing. They just sort of used elements.
Yeah.
But I mean, Portal 3, come on. It can't even be that hard. It's just puzzles.
Yeah.
Puzzles with a cool story and a quirky British character. That's all they need.
Yeah.
It's not that hard at all.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess so. As we sit here making YouTube videos telling them how easy it is to make video games.
Absolutely.
Well, depending if you're Alex, it's easy to make a YouTube video.
Oh yeah, great
video.
Job on that DMC video, by the way.
The amount of quality feedback we've heard from all of your hard work.
My hard work. Do you know what I loved about that was everything that was positive was referencing me, and then everything that was negative was referencing the people who wrote it. And I just kind of wanted to respond to every comment and being like, whilst I didn't write it, thank you for saying you love the video, but I did just present it, and there was a lot of people behind the scenes putting a lot of work in.
It's a team effort.
It's a team effort. Everything we do is a team effort, which I think,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to our news stories. But before that, I will just say, if you want to reach out to us on Twitter or on Instagram, we are at All Time Gaming TV. We do have a comment section for the podcast as well, and we will be responding to some of the comments later on. So if you want to ask us a question, you can go onto our Twitter and you can put a question on there and we will respond. And on Facebook, we are All Time Gaming Official. So again, if you want to leave us a comment, if you want to suggest some content you want to see, get on there, talk to us. And we also have a Patreon. So they could join up to the Patreon, couldn't they?
Oh, endless possibilities.
Endless. And for as little as $1 a month, you can join our Discord and then you can chat to us live and we will often respond in real time.
Yeah, we'll get you in the Division 2 clan if you play on the right console.
Yeah.
If you play on PC, you're stuck with Steph. I apologise.
But so, you're stuck with me, a decent frame rate and 4K graphics.
Oh!
Wow, yeah, great.
Okay, so who wants to go first with news stories? Preferences?
I don't mind jumping in first because I feel like my one is a little juicy tidbit, but we can get it out the way quite quickly.
Okay.
More of a curiosity, if nothing else.
Yes.
Because there are elements of this news story that to us sound mad, but to other people might be a little bit more familiar, a more familiar tale. So there is a game that was due to come out in the West, at least, or worldwide, in June, that had been out since December, in fact, in Japan, called Judgment, or Judge Eyes, if you're in Japan, which I prefer that name.
I think we've read
Judge Eyes.
We have talked to before on the podcast. We've referenced before, haven't we? Yeah,
we have, because it is. So it's coming out of Sega, and it is the spin-off from the Yakuza series.
Yes.
So it's from that same team. If you watch gameplay of it, you'll see that the combat looks very familiar for anyone who's played Yakuza. Certainly the open world elements, also very Yakuza. But it's kind of got this detective spin on it. People are comparing it almost to like a Phoenix Wright game, how it's got these detective elements woven in with this insane over-the-top action.
Sounds like a really cool concept. Sounds like a good idea for a game.
I was kind of looking forward to it as someone that weirdly got into Yakuza around Yakuza 0. Maybe not as much as Milo does, but I kind of liked it. And I was looking forward to this, but there might be a spanner in the works for those of us looking forward to Judgment.
Say it ain't so.
Because something kind of surprising has happened, but there may actually be precedent for it in Japan. So essentially what has happened is there's a guy called Pierre Taki, who is one of the voice actors and one of the faces in Judge Eyes or Judgment. He's apparently a fairly well-known, I guess, or a well-used voice actor.
A bit of a celebrity, isn't he?
Yeah, in fact, he was Olaf the Snowman from Frozen in the Japanese release of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
He has been done for cocaine. Now,
done for cocaine.
Now, when I say done for cocaine, anyone from the West is probably thinking, well, he's got caught possession of cocaine.
Distribution
of cocaine. No.
Drug baron.
None of that stuff. So they, I guess, had some suspicion that he was involved in some dirty activities. So they searched him. They searched his house. They searched his car. Apparently, they didn't find any cocaine. But they made him do a drugs test, and he tested positive for cocaine. So that's all he's done. He's been accused and has actually, in fact, apparently owned up to doing a small amount of cocaine.
Had none. Did some cocaine.
But did a small amount of cocaine. As a response to this, Sega have stopped all sales and shipments of Judge Eyes in Japan, mm-hmm. have left their worldwide plans for release in June completely up in the air. No one knows what's going on. They've basically stopped the presses fully.
They went through and deleted any previous tweets as well.
Yeah, like an unprecedented wipe of any sort of, in some cases, even mention of the game. And apparently, I was talking to Milo about this. So this is to do with sort of, in Japanese culture, drugs, not
no go.
Yeah, they're a bit of a no go.
Don't do drugs, kids.
And apparently, even doing drugs can lead to situations like this. I was looking up one article which referenced a couple of similar stories. Ironically, this has happened to a Yakuza game before.
Right.
The Yakuza 4 re-release suffered a similar fate. And apparently, there were also a Japanese pop duo that were signed to Universal Music. One of them got caught with MDMA and all sale of their music was stopped. It's kind of this thing where you're almost blacklisted as soon as you're caught with something like this.
Yeah, that's insane.
So
the idea that you can make Japanese pop music without drugs is baffling to me.
Right, exactly. Like, maybe I'm an idiot here, but I kind of think, like, Japan, the Yakuza, all-night karaoke, I think these dudes must be doing coke around the clock. Like, no disrespect to anyone Japanese listening. I just thought it was not relaxed, but I didn't think it would be this dramatic that even a game's association with someone who did cocaine is enough to stop selling the game.
I found it sort of particularly weird because, so we work in the media, we are obviously based in London.
Is this your way of saying we used to see people do cocaine?
Well, almost. So I remember quite, I remember clearly that when I got into the media, the idea of, because I'm from a small place, a small little town,
yeah.
The idea of people just openly talking about the fact that they do coke was so common. It was almost like people saying about having a drink, like, oh, I had a couple of beers at the weekend. It was like, did a couple of lines. I found it quite odd being not from London specifically. So then when I found out, when this came out, I found it genuinely surprising that you can not only lose your job, as it were, as this guy's done, but you can be expunged from all media.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's almost like something from Black Mirror where they go back and they wipe anything of you in any kind of media so there's no reference or no link.
Because you made one tiny mistake. Well, I don't know if it was tiny.
This might have been a celebration for the guy's birthday and someone for the first time ever was like, go on, do a line.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also just love the idea that this is a Japanese actor who apparently was portraying like a criminal or mob boss in a video game. Like, of course he did, like...
method acting.
Yeah.
Getting into character.
I've got to be careful how I react to it because I don't want to come across as insensitive to the culture, and I understand, you know, that's the way things are, and I'm sure people play by the rules when those rules are set out. But it is kind of remarkable that actually it's having an impact on how us now in the West are going to be able to play the game. Can we still look forward to it? It's unlikely it's going to get cancelled or anything like that, but will it get delayed and how long will he have to wait? Because in the case of the Kingdom Hearts 3 thing, where, as I said, he was the voice actor of Olaf, the snowman from Frozen,
yep.
I believe they've got a new voice actor in and they're redubbing it and they're forcing people to download a patch which replaces the voice in the game.
Imagine the expenditure that they've gone to do that as well. Like, to remove this guy.
The issue they're having with Judgment or Judge Eyes is that he is in the game. It's his face. He's a model in the game, not just a voice.
Let's hope he has a twin brother that they can say is him instead.
I don't know. As
a counterpoint as well, I really hope I'm getting this right, but I'm pretty sure that President Obama admitted to doing coke while he was at university, right? as like, you know, I did some cocaine. That's that not how he sounds.
That was like,
it was more like
Bill Clinton.
But yes, I'm
Black
pretty,
Bill Clinton.
I'm pretty sure that he said that he did while he was at uni. So imagine the same in the America as they have in Japan, and they would have just like deleted him from history.
Oh my God! If they had anywhere near the same rules in the US as they do in Japan with this stuff, then nothing would ever come out. Like the music industry would have been, would have started.
The number of celebs who are like, I'm just going back to rehab for because I've been doing more drugs. Yeah. They all would have been deleted from history, yeah, erased.
Exactly. I just think it's a lot of effort for one man. And I mean, if he's as big as, obviously he's done more than just Kingdom Hearts and Yakuza, surely.
What's mad is this comes from the country that invented Yakuza, like the actual gang.
Yeah, like, and this is a move being done by the developers who make games about the Yakuza. Yeah. Like, he probably does cocaine in these games, and he can't do cocaine in real life.
Crazy.
Yeah, I just thought that was a fascinating story, which unfortunately does have ramifications for even us here in the UK or anyone listening in the US, Australia, all around the world, because now we don't actually know what the worldwide release plans are for a game that was meant to be coming out in just 3 short months. Yes. And is, for all intents and purposes, finished. So very interesting to see what happens, whether they full-on replace his model and voice. Does it go back on sale in Japan? Or does Sega go even more unprecedented and just cancel yank it? Yeah. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
What do you reckon will happen?
I don't know. I've just got to say what I hope will happen, which is that they find some workaround. They either, not get over it, but they either learn to deal with it or live with it, or they replace his, you know, his character model and his voice actor. He would have been dubbed over for the English version anyway, but
that's true. Yeah,
we'll see. I guess what I'm saying is I still hope the game comes out and we have an opportunity to buy it and play it legitimately.
It must be so easy to dub him and then just sort of tweak his face in the game as well.
I hope so.
If they shouldn't have to do anything to the West, because certainly in our culture it's not like that.
But I suppose if it's for them, right, if they're doing it anyway, if they're doing it for the Japanese
they'll
market,
they'll just do it as a whole thing, do
it. But I guess it would be kind of mad for them to
do two different models.
Yeah.
Or they just don't release it in Japan and they just release it everywhere else.
It's already out in Japan. It's been out since December.
Oh, it is out?
Oh, it is out. I thought this was a new game.
So it's not out yet in anywhere else, but in Japan, it has been out since December.
Right, okay.
They have stopped all sales and
so they've pulled it from shelves and digital sources.
This is what
Blimey.
This is.
Right, okay. So
that's what I said at the top of the news story, Steph.
One thing this is going to do is the old, was it by Barbara Streisand effect, is everyone who already owns that game is going to be playing it like bandits. They're going to be there like going, yeah, I'm playing a real cocaine.
Yeah, the Streisand effect. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on then to another story. Steph, what have you got for us?
Well, as you probably know and have seen in the press, that the Halo Master Chief Collection is coming to PC.
Oh.
Yeah, Reddit hasn't let me read about anything else in the last week
because
it's so excited about that.
Will this be finally the time that I actually play a Halo game?
I'm going to guess no.
Probably
no. Have you got PC? Gaming PC?
Yes, I have.
Then you should play a Halo game.
I think if he hasn't played a Halo game already in his life, I don't think he's going to start.
Halo
now
is a part of gaming history. I think it defined the original Xbox.
I was always
a Sony kid, so you know.
So you never had the Xbox.
Never had the Xbox. Xbox exclusives. Never strayed. So go on. Sorry. Anyway,
the story it started as a joke on Reddit, with them announcing that the game was coming to Steam. Someone, I believe, sent them a message on Reddit or Twitter, saying, "Congratulations, have a pizza on us." And then the Reddit community got involved and sent countless amounts of pizza to the 343 Industries office, and their head of industry or head of studio, sorry, said, "No more pizzas, please. Like, we cannot accept any more." And our receptionist
Imagine
has gone
that.
Home.
No one else in that office was saying no more pizzas. They were eating like kings for all that time.
Yeah. Imagine the amount of leftovers there for the rest of the week.
Oh, what? I'd take it home. I would have eaten pizza every night. If anyone out there ever wants to send us pizzas, feel free to send us pizzas.
We can give you our word that we will never say no to pizza. There's no such thing as too much pizza.
If you own a pizza parlor and you would like to sponsor this podcast and send us pizza,
how many pizza parlor owners do you think?
I really don't know.
Who are watching this?
I'd love it if there was one.
Let us know in the comments. Super pizza hot for you.
Antonio.
I'm there.
Italian pizza.
Is that your Italian name, Antonio?
Antonio. He's got his own independent pizza parlor. He wants to sponsor our podcast.
What would it be called?
Antonio's Pizza. Authentic.
The best name. Yeah. The actual game itself, the Halo Master Chief Collection is, as I say, coming to PC. It will include Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, and Reach now, which I think is quite good revisiting those. And they're all going to be remastered for modern components.
Oh, and, maybe I will.
And I think one of the nice, as you already mentioned, Steph, one of the big talking points around it is the fact that it is coming both to, you know, Windows 10 or whatever it is, or the Microsoft Store and Steam.
Yes, it's coming both to, it's been confirmed, it's coming both to Windows, Microsoft Store and Steam, and it doesn't need Xbox Live Gold subscription to play on PC.
Mm. It is well annoying when things don't come to Steam, they just go to the Xbox Store. You know, it's a pain in the ass. I find that annoying.
I think the only game I've got on my Microsoft Store on my PC is Sea of Thieves.
Wow.
Yeah. So you really want me to log in just to like do, just put it, please just put it on Steam. I'm already logged in. I'm already downloading.
To be fair, I'm surprised you lot aren't used to that already, because you must have Steam, Origin, Battle.net, Epic, all that stuff running around the clock anyway. So what's one more?
Every time my PC turns on, four stores open or launches open.
I think I've only got three that I use regularly.
Steam, you know? Origin.
Steam, Origin, and the Oculus.
Okay, Store. I guess that's got its own like launcher thing.
Yeah, which is annoying that I have to go over to that. I find that annoying, but you know, oh well.
You wish you can consolidate all your apps into one convenient little package.
One easy, manageable monthly package.
I feel like there's a business there.
Maybe, yeah.
There is. Just to collate everything. Yes. That would be great.
So with the pizza.
Yes.
Did you say this already? I might have missed it. They've introduced a pizza skin.
Yes, they've also introduced a brand new pizza skin to Halo as a reward for everyone who jumps on today.
So what are you? What is this skin? Is that like a costume or is it like a gun skin?
I'm assuming it's a weapon skin. Yeah.
Okay. So you got like a I don't, what are they?
Pepperoni pizza.
Bloody
skin.
Rifles are called in that. There plasma rifle.
There was a battle rifle. I remember that from Halo.
With pepperoni on the side and ham and pineapple on the top.
No, not ham and pineapple. It's got to be pepperoni, surely.
They called it a pepperoni pizza, but
okay,
it better not be anything else other than pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
Super important off the back of this conversation. If right now, if I'm sitting here, if I've got some menus for some beloved pizza places, what are you picking?
If I'm completely new to a pizza place and I don't know if I trust it yet, my go-to is nice and simple. It's just a pepperoni.
Okay.
When I want to push the boat out a bit more, I'll get more meat on there.
Give me more meat. More meat.
That's, I think, anything but chicken. Anything but chicken. Okay. I don't like chicken on my pizza.
Steph, you don't like chicken really at all.
No, I'm not really a fan.
I've never met anyone that doesn't like chicken until I met Steph.
So KFC, you just wouldn't go?
I could get through a KFC wrap. I couldn't have like chicken on the bone.
Would you just eat the skin and dump the rest?
No, I wouldn't. If it came like a piece. Yeah.
A leg.
A piece.
Leg or a wing or a breast or something like that, and there's still bone in it? No.
That is insane.
It's fascinating, right?
That you have to write off like Nando's, KFC.
Nando's I could get through a wrap, but I wouldn't order a chicken.
I love that terminology. I could get through a wrap.
I'd hate every second of it, but I could get through it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Do you know what I love? A barbecue base.
Too sweet. Yeah. Too sweet.
I do like a barbecue base. There's I think Domino's have currently got like a Texan barbecue thing where it's chicken, pepperoni, and some like sweet corn barbecue. That is good.
If we don't have a pizza sponsorship in the next podcast, we've done something wrong.
We are failing.
Yes.
We'll shout out. There is a new Halo Insider program as well, which will replace the MCC Insider program. And it's basically a way for people to sign up to get one of the early access beta keys as like a private beta for the Master Chief Collection.
Okay, yeah.
So if you want to play it, you have to go to their website, sign up. It's not guaranteed, but if you want to give it a try on early access, you can.
I feel like I would hate myself if I really liked it. If I played it and liked it and was like, how have I not played all these games in the past? But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I've liked Halo in the past an awful lot, but I don't really feel like I need to play any more of it right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough reason to go back to the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Certainly as someone who's had an Xbox One since launch, I've had my fill.
You've done it.
Yeah. And like, I didn't finish Halo 5, and I think that was enough of a sign for me that my time with that series is maybe coming to an end. We'll see what Infinite does.
Are you looking forward to Infinite?
I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with Infinite. Yeah. And some of the rumours and sort of the conversation behind the scenes sound positive.
Yeah.
Same thing with Gears of War 5, right? Like, impress me, wow me. You know,
so that's something I would like to play. I've always been a bit of a fan of the grunty, sort of grunginess of
sounds
the
sounds like you
series.
Need an Xbox, my friend.
Yeah, I know, right?
You need to invest. Yeah. Are these games coming to Windows anyway? They must.
Fair, they all do now. To be fair, don't they?
If
full on Games Pass comes to Windows, then yeah, like you don't need an Xbox. To be fair,
but so you just play it on your PC.
And soon you won't need any of these things anyway because streaming will take over. We'll have to wait for GDC 2019 to see about that.
We'll need a full on podcast just devoted to conversation about our streaming future.
We should do that. Anyone watching, if you want to comment and you want to tell us if we should do a podcast devoted purely to talking about streaming being the future of gaming, because it's an area that Jamie and I are both very interested in. So let's move on to our final news story. Today, I want to talk about Firestorm coming to Battlefield 5.
I bet you do.
Because the trailer for that dropped, and I think you shared it with me. I hadn't actually seen it, and then I watched it, and there's no gameplay in that trailer. It's purely cinematic. Yeah. And I was like, yes, this is where it's at.
It's what you want.
It's what I want. I mean, Battlefield has always been the series that I've gone to for large, open-scale conflict. I'm talking tanks, we're talking vehicles, we're talking shooting someone from like a mile away with a sniper rifle. That game just does everything for me. And I've always been a bit of a... I've bounced around, I suppose, with series when it comes to the multiplayer, like big multiplayer maps. But Battlefield is one I think I can always rely on. There's a few missteps, for sure, where they've done it a bit wrong, but... surely Battle Royale and Battlefield were born to be together.
Does seem to be a good fit on paper.
If you've played any of Battlefield 5 multiplayer, I mean, already some of those maps are pretty expansive. And you can see how they could easily just feel, make them slightly bigger, put more people in it and have more going on. And it's just, you know, it seems pretty epic. But so let's go through some of the sort of leaked facts. So these might change. I'm pretty sure these have to some degree been confirmed.
We'll know this month.
We will. 25th of March we'll find out, so we haven't got long to wait, which is less than a week. What are we on?
It's a week today.
It's being produced by Criterion, not DICE.
Yes, which is interesting.
I wonder any insights to why that might have happened.
I don't know, to be honest. Criterion is such a weird one where they were awesome for anyone that doesn't know, they're the Burnout people. Which, you know, huge amount of support out there for Burnout. Lots of people who wish that was a series that never went away. Then they kind of weirdly transitioned over to Need for Speed, and then they were going to make their own weird sort of like driving game that was going to have this sort of X Games open world extreme sports approach to driving. That kind of got cancelled, and since then they've been more or less a support studio. I think it's interesting how much their name is being pushed to the forefront of this, though. You watch that trailer and it's like EA, DICE, Criterion.
Yeah, I was surprised that they got a front end of a trailer.
I think I might be wrong in this, but I think they have essentially developed this mode on their own.
Okay.
Obviously DICE made the game, but I think Criterion have made Firestorm on their own. And hey, you apply, like, you got the guys who made the Burnout games to make a crazy, explosive battle royale game, which this kind of might be. That's an interesting mix.
That almost says to me that they already had the framework from the multiplayer to do the battle royale.
Surely that, yeah.
And then Criterion have just jumped in to do the tractors.
That's all they
maybe
want.
But hey, even if it just means that the driving's good, then...
That's very true.
If you look at their history, you said their history...
Yeah,
and one thing that is a bit sort of about the multiplayer is the driving in some of those like faster cars and things like that is pretty naff.
So
a few other things that like I said, I don't think they've been confirmed, but I think they're accepted to be pretty much true. There's going to be a single, duo and squad mode, which, you know, is pretty standard now. There will be vehicles again, which I think we'd all be surprised if there wasn't. You do the typical thing of parachuting in at the beginning of the map, have that mad scramble for weapons, ammo, let's assume armor as well. I'd be surprised if they don't have that. Gear's going to be broken down into common, rare and epic. So again, so far so typical. But I'll be interested to see how they implement that, because obviously with games like Apex, you can get the armor grades, you know, how it means something different, but the weapons themselves, you pretty much have weapons. You don't get like a rare gun.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll actually have like a pistol, which is then a rare version where it's, you know, more damage and things like that. I'm always interested to see how they tweak around the edges of those sorts of things.
Possibly. I want to say most of the big battle royale games have done what you said Apex does, which is that this is the gun and it's always going to be the same way, rather than having multiple versions of the same gun in one map. I feel like they might stick. They might do what Apex does, which is like occasionally you're going to find these sort of legendary or special weapons in the environment exactly that come with all the attachments already on and things like that. Maybe they'll do one of those.
It would. It'd be interesting to see, because it would. It'd feel a bit odd if they effectively had, you know, things that you could add onto a weapon that were super special, rather than just say like an ACOG is a rare, you know, type of sight, a holographic sight.
Mm.
I suppose wouldn't even exist.
That's the other thing. It's World War II, right?
How do they?
So everything's got to be fancy within the context of World War II.
That's what I'm trying to imagine. How do you tweak?
Yeah, but
that?
They still pull off how many red dot sights were available in World War II, but they still managed to put one of those in Battlefield. So
did they?
Yeah, I think so. It looks like a piece of glass that someone has drawn an orange highlighter on it.
Oh, yeah, because there are some.
It's
sort
like
of...
a crazy, not a red dot sight. Sorry, like a holographic sight.
They do, yeah. They do have some interesting kind of optics that they do use that kind of fill that space, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe they will just be innovative and be quite clever in how they implement this. But I think it could be some really cool ideas of how they get around, you know, not being able to be all techie, like a game like Apex can, especially this sort of. Like special perks and drops and things you get. I'm definitely interested to see how they if they have anything like that in the game.
Yeah.
One cool thing they've said is when you are downed by an enemy when you're playing like duo or squad, or maybe single player, but I don't know why you'd have it, is you can pull out your sidearm. Like we're kind of used to in those in sort of, I suppose, zombie mode, you can pull out your sidearm in those sorts of games. I can't think what else you can.
Yeah, in COD Zombies you can.
Call of Duty's had that kind of last stand thing going on.
Which makes it kind of more interesting in a Battle Royale game, because we're sort of quite used to being downed. People go to revive you, and then you're kind of open to being mercilessly brutalized by anyone who's...
if you've got a knockdown shield, buddy.
But even a knockdown shield, all you can do is crawl away, right?
I know, I'm joking.
Can't exactly...
Or you've got a lifeline on your team.
Yeah,
then you're fully protected.
Well, yeah, but
this is the horrible
thing
about battle royales now. We're just going to compare them all to Apex every time.
But at least in this, if someone's trying to heal you and you can at least take pot shots at the person who put you down, you may find that people are more hesitant to just sort of put someone down and then, you know, go for, and then think, oh, I'll just wait 10 seconds and take out whoever revives them. Because at least you can have a little bit of an impact on the revival.
It's a surprisingly big choice, and it's going to. I think that would quite dramatically change the way that encounters play out.
Yeah.
You think about Apex, where you're happy to leave someone knocked because you know if you kill their team, and if you get their teammates, and they're all just going to die like that. Now leaving someone knocked is not the same as it is in any other Battle Royale game. So.
No, and in Apex, you've got such a long time to go and get their respawn token and then run them over and respawn them as well. Which should be said, that will not be in this game, because that would be weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, unless they could revive you as a zombie.
Yeah,
Battlefield joining the zombie crew.
If there's one thing I do like about Battlefield, and there's not much, it's that it doesn't do any of that zombie shite.
But this is the announcement they're bringing. No, they're not bringing the zombies. Other thing is, there will be 64 players, not 100, which I think we've kind of gotten used to in some respects.
Yeah.
But then I want to say that Apex is 60 players.
80?
No, I thought it was 80 something.
Is it
80? Yeah.
Is it not 20 teams of three?
Oh, actually, you're right. It's 60.
It would be 60.
Yeah, it's 20 teams of three. Yeah,
that's much less than I thought.
Pretty sure it
much
is.
Much less.
Because otherwise that would be...
It definitely...
80 divided by 3 doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's got to be... It's got to be a divisible...
It definitely was 60 at launch, now that you've said that. I don't know why I had 80 in my head.
But I for one, after seeing the trailer and look, even just thinking about this a little bit and seeing that... So just to say, for people who haven't seen the trailer, they're using the typical kind of thing that there's a fire... Well, it's why it's called Firestorm for sure. There's a fire raging around you that shrinks and compresses everyone, you know, into a smaller and smaller environment like we're used to with Battle Royale games. But with that destructible scenery, with those vehicles, with the weapons, and how much fun that online multiplayer is and has been already when I've played it. Also the quality of it, because it looks great. I think the textures are on point. One of the criticisms I've got of Blackout is the COD Blackout is that I think it looks naff.
Yeah.
I keep saying naff. I just thought people would be like, what's that weird English term?
Ugly.
Shit.
Oh, yes, shit.
Is that this could be on point. I think it could blow things wide open for the Battle Royale market.
It's going to be so taxing on... Or coming from a PC standpoint, it's going to be so taxing on PC graphics cards.
For sure, yeah.
Because if you've got battles going on everywhere, plus you've got fire textures coming in, it's going to be mental. Mm. That's your frame rate gone.
Your 2080 is just going to start doing one frame a second.
Yeah, no more ray tracing for you.
All I worry about when it comes to you saying that this could blow things wide open is, A, how many people own Battlefield 5? B, how many people that have already dropped off it are willing to come back for this mode? And C, is that number enough to compare to free-to-play games?
That, like, yes.
When you're out the gate, you're competing with Apex's now 50 million plus players.
Yeah. Completely free to play.
And, you know, I hate to say it like this because it sounds so harsh on the hard work that has no doubt gone into this mode, but what are people more excited for right now? What am I more excited for right now? The Firestorm? Is that what it's called? Firestorm. Battlefield 5? Or Season 1 Battle Pass in Apex? It's Season 1 Battle Pass by a long fucking way.
It's the one new character that
literally they're going to one new character in Apex, and Firestorm can go fuck itself, whatever. Like, I don't care.
Fair enough.
Like, I sound like so dismissive of it, but like the environment it's coming into is so tough, and I've had my fill.
Great point.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, sorry, I'll make this quick, but Battlefield for me has always been a series of, like, it's surprisingly realistic and intense military simulation, right? Like, you're running through multiplayer games and Battlefield, and explosions are popping off, and it's all very visceral and raw, and, like, the shooting feels kind of grounded. And then you get this trailer for Firestorm, and it's kind of like, oh, Criterion are making this crazy thing where you're going to ride around on a tractor and have a laugh with your mates. And I'm like, is that... I wonder if there was actually an opportunity, a gap in the market for Battlefield to be the new PUBG of, like, this hardcore military sim, intense battle royale, as opposed to maybe Apex and Blackout in the slightly more
have fun
territory, and they're actually going for that same market. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but
I think, or publishers certainly could release the game, or like the game mode, Firestorm game mode, at a much cheaper price than a full.
Free.
50, 60,
you think standalone?
Could they do it free as a standalone title?
I think if they did it free, they'd have to really push microtransactions to make any money back.
Yeah, I think then also EA would be supporting two free-to-play Battle Royale games simultaneously. Yeah. That's the other weird thing about Battlefield 5 and Firestorm.
I think if you spend 50, 60 quid, I'm not sure how much Battlefield 5 is now, brand new, but you spend, let's say, £50, and you've got all the game modes, you've got all the gear available to you with the in-game currency. You knock out Firestorm for £20. I think more people would likely sink £20 into that because they want to play it rather than now having to buy Battlefield 5 complete.
I think it does better, but I still don't think it does well. I think when you try and sell people on the idea that even for £20 standalone, hey, here's Firestorm, it's the Battlefield 5 Battle Royale, go out and buy it. Or is Apex Legends, it's free and everyone you know is playing it. I just don't see how this does well. Maybe I'm being cynical. I just don't know in what market this succeeds.
I think there's a number, right? There's a number which is the number of people still playing Battlefield 5.
Which I think is low.
Which is low, plus the number of people who will come back to try this new mode, which is probably not great, but
it's one of the worst. It's one of the worst selling Battlefields in recent memory.
So there will be people come back, but like you said, so there's not a massive market for that. And then it's how many of those people can then drive interest in this as a new mode, and whether or not there'll be new people to uptake the game off the back of this new mode. And it's a really tough question because, like you said, if you then have to go and spend 50 quid, 40 quid, whatever it is now, on that game, that is a tall order when you can just download Apex and just play it.
Look at what happened to Call of Duty, right? It came out with the Battle Royale mode day and date at the right time, October last year. Call of Duty sells extremely well, always does every year. Last year, was no different. Immediately, they had Blackout well populated.
Yep.
And Blackout was, for all intents and purposes, a solid, if not even good, Battle Royale mode. Mm-hmm. A lot of people liked it. By the time you got to early this year, The signs out of Activision were already, this isn't doing quite what we wanted it to do. We're a little bit worried about this. The microtransaction stuff started to get ramped up as they tried to more heavily monetize the people that were still in that ecosystem.
Introduced loot boxes as well, I think. Yeah. They did as well, didn't they?
So we're talking about Call of Duty, which sold much, much better out of the gate, having a Battle Royale mode implemented since October. Battlefield 5 selling much worse and waiting until March and going head-to-head against Season 1 of... Apex, it is trouble.
This is why I think it will be the reason I think they've pushed the release date for the mode as well, because it was pushed, right? It was supposed to be earlier.
Yeah.
Is that it's going to be free to play. They will release it And it'll be everyone will start playing it who wants to play it on with Battlefield 5, and then as a standalone game, it'll be free to play, and you'll be able to buy, or you'll be able to get loot crates, and you'll be able to get stuff like that.
I honestly think that's their only hope of this thing even being marginally successful. Yeah. Is it being free to play?
Although you made a great point about EA then have to stand behind two titles that they're, you know.
Yep.
But then let's see.
EA would be going into an E3 where they've already confirmed they're not having a press conference, and their two biggest games are free to play battle royale titles.
They would be in trouble if that happened. But they'd just do what they did with Apex, and they'll just pay people like Ninja a million.
Oh, to go into play
to
it.
And for a couple of,
I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I.
Dr. Disrespect, do you want some money? Yeah, sure. Here you go. Go and play some Firestorm for a couple of weeks. We'll give you a million.
Yeah, where's our check, EA? We played Apex Legends 3 times on stream. We didn't get paid £1 million.
And on that bombshell, I think we should move on to some comments.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so first up from Mickey J. Mickey J says, we all know Anthem is absolute trash, but have you ever come across a game that has been the complete opposite? Generally no hype, or you completely miss the hype for it, but played it on a whim and you absolutely adored every second of it.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a rough question. Do you know what? Yeah.
That is a hard one.
I need a little bit of thinking time for that one. Is there an easier one that you can queue up while I think about Mickey J's question?
They're all pretty tough questions, to be fair.
Good.
Here's one might be easier. This is from Cal Hayes. He says, what or who got you into video games in the first place?
Steph, why don't you tee that one up and I'll think about Mickey J's.
I'll start with that. Let's start with what. I would say it was...
No life stories here. Let me take you back to 1996.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
In 96. Yeah, let's go back to 1996, actually. Because if I was around that age, I would have had a Sega Mega Drive. So it would have been Sonic the Hedgehog, Alex Kidd, Echo the Dolphin, some Disney titles like Aladdin and Lion King. I think that's where my gaming career started. I played Doom as well on the PC at that time. My dad just kind of plonked me in front of Doom, Quake, and Theme Hospital.
Nice.
That's probably where my gaming career started.
The person-wise, mainly your dad then who got you into it?
I think so.
Yeah,
definitely.
Same for me.
Yeah,
the big man. He had a PS1 when I was growing up, and I was allowed to have a go on that. I remember playing Tomb Raider. I remember playing Brian Lara Cricket, and I remember playing Time Crisis before I started to get my own games. I remember one of them was... I got A Bug's Life on PS1.
Yes, quality game.
Yeah, and then the other thing I had fairly early on, Game Boy Color. Didn't have an OG Game Boy, just a colour, and started playing the Pokemon games very early on. That
nice.
Yeah,
I think mine's pretty similar. So it would just be my parents, really, because they had I think I said before, we had an Amstrad, which I think was the first like computer that we had, but it wasn't a PC. It was a, you know, it could do things that PCs do to a terrible degree, but
like word processing,
yeah, like really bad word processing, but it was not a PC. I think, like I said before, like my dad used to type the games out into that from a big manual. He had to actually code the games individually.
That sounds awesome.
Can
you imagine
awesome
that? Oh, I just want to play Devil May. I just downloaded Devil May Cry. I just got to code it quickly.
That would not be awesome. You'd literally be sat there for months with Devil May Cry.
You couldn't do it.
No, you couldn't do it.
That would be an interesting fact, actually. How long would it take to individually type out? Like, no, you couldn't.
I can't wait to play The Division 2 in 4 years.
Just my parents. Like, then we had a PC, and then it was, you know, games on that. She used to download and get any hold of any games you could. A few games on floppy disk that we'd got from our places. Yeah.
SimCity?
I had SimCity, yeah.
SimCity was on a floppy disk.
I forget how old you two are.
Well, I had Indiana Jones and the Hunt for Atlantis on floppy disk. It was like 7 floppy disks.
Jesus.
7, I don't remember that.
It was like, take one out, put, oh God, keep going as you're playing the game. It's still go, please put the other disk in. Oh, all right. Okay, so let's move on. So thanks for that question, Cal. Great question. Another one from Johnny B, who says, what's your guilty pleasure game? I think this doesn't have to be current. This could be it could be in the past as well. I'll go first, because I'll say Evolve for me, I think, is widely considered now to be like a terrible game. I genuinely had a lot of fun with that game. I used to like playing it. Not being the creature, though. I hated being the creature. I'd always want to be one of the people. I used to be a healer, actually, a lot in that game. But just the I like the format. I like the way that it worked. I like how the matches unfolded. Some really cool little set pieces. It was generally fun.
It wasn't without promise or without potential, but it just never really came to fruition, did it?
No, no. And then it got axed. And yeah. Now you have to play it peer to peer if you want to play it. Apparently, there's no servers or anything. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah. Dead.
And they even tried to go free to play briefly, didn't they?
That yeah. How was that going to work? Well, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know what? This is, I don't know if this is going to come across as unpopular, but like a lot of my guilty pleasure games are, I get weirdly into admittedly kind of bad open world games. And I don't really know why. It seems like the opposite of what you get into if they're bad, because you think there's nothing worse than a boring open world. But sometimes I just kind of get just caught in their trap almost. Like the most recent one was Crackdown 3, which, you know, by most accounts was not a great game. Steph is shaking his head at me as we speak. I played and finished all of Crackdown 3. And I just one of those things where when there's a checklist in front of me, that OCD kicks in and I just keep going. And so a lot of people over the years have sort of had a lot of shit to say about Ubisoft and their games. I've played like nearly every Ubisoft game. Bless you, Steph.
Oh, so
wow,
sorry.
That was a big
sorry,
one.
Sorry.
That's all right. But, you know, every Ghost Recon and Far Cry and Assassin's Creed and all of that shit, I just play those games and I just take...
So you have a studio. You have a guilty pleasure studio, not game.
I mean, I'm definitely not afraid to admit that I like a lot of big studio games, and I don't like hating on the Ubisofts or EAs of the world, because I play far too many of their games to do that.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Steph, guilty pleasure game?
My guilty pleasure game that if I probably mentioned to friends that I was playing it, they'd probably laugh. And that's a game called Guild Wars 2.
Oh, yeah.
I still love Guild Wars 2.
You used to stream that back in the day.
Yeah, I've streamed that a few times. That's definitely a guilty pleasure game, because it's not really... If you compare it to kind of MMO games like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Or The Old Republic, which is another one I got into, which had a very deep storyline. Guild Wars 2 is just trash. But I love it.
Did you ever play... I'm pretty sure it was called Gender Wars.
Gender.
Did you ever play Gender Wars?
No.
And it was like a turn-based... It was almost like a... oh, shit, what's it called? Enemy Unknown. It was style game.
Right.
But you were... It was literally like men versus women, but it was futuristic. It was super futuristic, and there was no kind of weird tropes about men and women. They were literally two factions.
Right.
So it wasn't trying to be like a funny game. It was genuinely a cool game. And you would fly into... And if you picked to be the men... You were blue and the women, I think, were red, and you would fly into like one of their places, and you had to like click for your turn, and then you could attack, and then you created your little team. So very Enemy Unknown. But yeah, that was a cool little game back in the day, but sounds bad now when you say Gender Wars.
I don't know why, but for some reason that just also reminded me of another guilty pleasure I had growing up, Postal 2.
Oh,
I'm not proud to admit it, but there was a time when Postal 2 was a legitimate fascination amongst me and my friends. We were like, have you heard of this game? Oh my
God. You can piss on people.
It's the game, you piss in their mouth until they throw up. And you chop their head off and kick it around.
I think that's a game that every kid could play right at some point in their life. They would have enjoyed playing.
But
I think I might have had a demo.
I've still got it on my Steam. I've got legitimately like paid for and bought Postal 2. No, it's on Steam.
Okay.
In fact,
to be fair, now it will be allowed back. Steam have recently gone, anything's allowed.
I mean, I guess so, yeah. It's weirdly well supported on Steam as well. Like, the community around it is not that small.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left, so let's touch back on that question we had from Mickey J. So that was, what game that had sort of no hype and no one really talked about did you play and you're like, this is a diamond? I remembered one that funnily enough, I mentioned on the last stream I was on with Milo, which was Giant Citizen Kabuto.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Which was one that I didn't hear anyone talk about. It was before, you know, a lot of things I went on the internet and talked about games anyway. Blimey, I don't even know when it came out. I can't remember. I think it was a PlayStation 2 title, right? Do you remember?
I would have had it on Xbox.
Ah, okay. I can't remember that. But it wasn't even my game. It was one that my girlfriend at the time had at her house, and she had quite a few niche titles, and then played and was like, wow, this is genuinely like quite a cool game.
Am I thinking that this was, you were like I don't know, Space Marines, and you were fighting giant bugs.
Yeah, yeah, basically, you know,
like cartoon Starship Troopers.
But then, exactly, and then you could switch between you, but it changed up which character you were. So you then became this like ethereal alien woman.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was a really fun game, and there was a lot of humor to it. But I kind of tuned out when there were sort of base building elements to it, and I'm not into that. And even then, and especially with the awful graphics that it would have been at the time. But no, I genuinely thought it was a cool game and played quite a lot of it. So yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason I struggled with this question when you first asked it is because it doesn't happen so much anymore, right?
No.
Like, how often do we take $60, £50 punts on games that no one's talking about? Not that often, but I do remember the early days of the 360 when it was a bit more of a Wild West in terms of the games I was interested in and the amount of content around games I was consuming. If there was no latest version of the Xbox 360 magazine or whatever it's called, I didn't know what to buy or what to spend my money on.
Right.
So I remember a few early rogue titles from that. Well, like, there was one called The Outfit that was this weird kind of like third-person military shooter, but all that also had RTS and or like tower defense elements. Amped 3, a snowboarding game.
Oh, I had Amped 3.
Yeah, do you remember that? With a weird sense of humor.
Yeah.
I just remember you could go down the portable toilet and stuff like that, and I was thinking, this is fucking wicked. And the last one, real rogue one, but me and my friends got addicted to it for a whole summer, Beijing 2008 for the Xbox 360.
Wow. Although those sorts of, do you know what? Those like athletics games, Olympics games, honestly, can be super addictive.
Me and three of my friends all had this game, and we were obsessed to the point where, so you could sprint for the 100 meter sprint, for example, one or two ways, mashing two buttons, one after the other, or the better way was to basically wiggle the analog stick left to right.
Right.
And so you think holding a controller conventionally and using your thumb to wiggle the analog stick left to right wasn't particularly easy.
Wasn't the best tactic.
Exactly. So the tactic we used was we used to place your palm or the kind of the gap between your two middle fingers on the analog stick and wiggle your hand fully back and forth, but you'd start to get blisters.
Oh, God.
So we had a thing where we would wear gloves to play Beijing 2008.
That's great.
Yes.
Which I am confident saying that I would destroy you in the sprinting of that.
I'm sure you would these days.
Purely because the number of games you used to have to play where you use your nail across the two buttons, and there wasn't, probably before there was a joystick, and you used to do that. And you could get like insane world record things.
The other
times,
the other technique that used to go around the internet at the time, but I never found actually worked, was you would take a bunch of pound coins because they were about the same size as an analog stick and quite heavy, and you tower them up on top of the analog stick, sellotape it all together so that it was essentially weighted,
and then shake the controller.
Shake the controller.
Oh. Game changer.
Yeah, it didn't work that well. I preferred the glove method, but
the glove.
There you go, Beijing 2008.
That's insane.
They actually changed the control setup in London 2012, so it was slightly easier and not as.
Because so many kids' hands were just wrecked.
Couldn't get as many blisters. But yeah, fingerless rugby gloves and things like that.
Do you know what's weird is the other thing, now you've just reminded me, the other thing I know that I can do, which is a completely useless skill, is I can vibrate my hand in one place so that I can push a button really fast.
I bet your wife loves that.
She does. purely through playing computer games where you had to push one button really quickly.
Oh, what a skill.
Yeah.
Maybe you probably would be better at Beijing 2008.
I'll show you later.
Okay, just as long as it's on a controller.
Quickly moving on, Steph. What was your... what game?
I can't really think of one that wasn't really spoken about. I've been very much a mainstream gamer my whole entire life. But I had a game. I remember a game on the original Xbox. And I believe it was called Kung Fu Fury, which was just like a very much a party game that you could play. You could either play it single player, or you can play it as a group of four. And you sat around one controller, very much couch co-op. And you had to complete these mini games, and it was all set up in the premise of kind of like you were creating a movie. The director were telling you what to do, and the challenges were different scenes of the movie.
Okay, right, yeah.
Was it called Kung Fu Fury?
It's
kind
of been the premise of a few games.
Yeah, well, you just reminded me of Stuntman, which is where you've got to do what the director says, and
that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, as you said it,
we get lost down a rabbit hole if we start talking about
Stuntman.
That
was probably quite a trash game. But that kept me and my friends again, and that kept us entertained for days.
Okay, well, no,
playing these challenges, so I think that's going to be my one.
We'll look at that one. Yeah, upstairs.
Yeah.
What a great question. Thank you, Mickey J. Well, that's pretty much all we've got time for today. Thank you both for joining me. This has been excellent as usual. I love getting in a room and talking about games with you too, which is great. So
I love it too.
I love it.
So this was the ATG Super Show. Please tune back in next week because we'll be back. As always, if you want to leave a comment or leave a question, then you can contact us on Twitter or Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. Our Facebook is All Time Gaming Official, or on our Discord. You can get on there and you can talk to us, or you can tell us content you want to see, or you can ask us questions for the podcast. And we will see you next week.
Don't forget to use the hashtag AskATG as well.
Oh,
because that hashtag, that makes it a lot easier for me to
a premature goodbye.
To go I didn't know about the hashtag. Hashtag AskATG.
Yeah, hashtag AskATG on any of the platforms, because it makes it a lot easier to see notifications with a hashtag on.
You've heard it here first. Social Steph, aka the mainstream gamer.
Very mainstream gaming.
I like that we're adding to Steph's nickname.
This, I mean, he's creating them himself.
To be fair. Okay, yeah, thank you for watching, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
See
ya. Bye.